How did you meet Barbara?
Well, I was acquainted by then with a guy called Sidney Shear. He plays the piano at very often at the Jewish Care. Anyway, so Sidney Shear was a close friend at that time, and one day he said, I think that is in the book, I'd like you to meet my fiancée. So we went back to the fiancée's house, and there was also this other girl sitting there in a corner working on her German homework. She was very pretty, so my German came in handy. I helped her, and we've been married happily ever after.
And how long? How many years have you been married?
1953 to, what is that, 57 years?
When did you start working? My question is, was it hard to get work? Obviously, once you started as
it was very hard to start. Very hard to start this commercial traveling.
Was it?
Visualize a young man who's pretty well lost in civilian life, going around with a little couple of cases and a few skirt samples in them, and knowing nobody in the business, right?
So, and did it make a difference? Well, your English is very good. Do you think people knew that you'd come from abroad?
By that time, I think I still had a bit of an accent. Not much. I've never had much accent, but you could tell I came from abroad, yes. Mm.
And did that make a difference to people's attitudes?
No. They were just curious about my accent, that's all.
That's right.
And that's still going on.
And I don't hear an accent. Did you have any reason to tell the people you're working with you were Jewish, or it wasn't an issue?
It was never an issue, except with golf clubs. I couldn't get into any club. You must all know that. There wasn't one, not one club that would accept a Jew. Not necessarily for this story. When I started business, and I needed an accountant, one-man business. And one day he said, listen, Bob, why don't you play golf? I said, because nobody would take me. He said, you're laughable, that's ridiculous, it doesn't happen. I said, it happens. So he went away and came back a month later and said, Bob, I'm ashamed. I couldn't get you into my club. And that's what it was like at that time. Oh, yeah, and then I got one interesting job. My mother helped. She was a great helper, my mother. She took charge. So she remembered that there was a Nottingham man, a big manufacturer of ladies' stockings. You know the old-fashioned stockings with seams and fully fashioned. It was a big way. He manufactured those. Mother went to see him and said, can you give my son a job? And he employed me. And they trained me to work this very fancy machinery, very, very long, big machine with thousands of needles doing the knitting. Only I was useless in my hands, so I broke one. And this was thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds worth. Oh, it was located in a town called Ilkeston, near Nottingham. And Ilkeston was still, I think, in the Dark Ages. They'd never seen a foreigner before. And nobody trusted me. Nobody wanted to talk to me. I was an enemy alien by then.
Of course, because the war was on.
Yeah. The only people who trusted me were the girls in the factory, but the men did. And my English wasn't all that good. It was hard to communicate. And when I broke that machine, I was in a doghouse. But Mr. Nosquith, that was the name of the owner, the company, by the way, was Charnas. They're still in business now.
Right.
Mr. Nosquith gave me one more chance. In the interim, the guy who was sort of in charge of me came to me and said, Norbert, Bert, whatever they called me in those days, I'm getting married, will you be my best man? That was the funniest situation in my life, by the way. He didn't even like me. I didn't like him, but he asked me because he had nobody else, I suppose. Came the day, the great day, and I was dressed up in my best finery. And I remember belting up the aisle. I handed the ring to the bridegroom. I went back down the aisle to be the usher. I was usher and best man. And I went out to the car, the bridal car, and they came out. She was in a beautiful finery. I opened the car door for her. She stepped in. Then I had the door open for him, and I slammed it on his hand. I did not do much good for his honeymoon. In fact, I never knew what... I know he drove off swearing, blood-curdling swearing. I learned more. And that was the last I heard of him, actually. And then I broke another machine. And even Mr. Nosquith had to fire me. I mean, this was complicated machinery. Machine with all those fine needles, hundreds of needles knitting away at the same time, you see. And for the fully fashioning bit, the machine picked up a stitch and transferred it to the next row of stitches, like in knitting. Mm-hmm. It was knitting. Anyway, so eventually, it was nitty. Out of that factory, from a frying pan into the fire, because got a couple more jobs. They weren't much cop, or I wasn't. Oh, one more thing that's interesting, not from my point of view. They introduced legislation that all foreigners, if they wanted to move from here to there, they had to register that they were going somewhere. Well, Ilkeston was 7 miles from Nottingham, my family was. So we, I was in digs in Ilkeston, terrible digs. But when I wanted to go to Nottingham for the weekend, I had to go to the police station, get a stamp in his special book, and he wrote inside, subjects entitled to move from... So the book is somewhere. I've got it somewhere, anyway. May move from Ilkeston to Nottingham for 24 hours. Report. It was bloody ridiculous. We were the Polish Jews who wanted to be on the British side. Mm-hmm. We couldn't have wanted anything more. Anyway, this happened for quite some time. So every time I wanted to go to Nottingham, I got on my bike, literally, and rode the 7 miles to Nottingham, back again, get the book stamped again. Even 12 hours, stamp your book. And that went on for a while. Anyway, I got jobs in Nottingham. They were rubbish. So was I. So I mentioned I went to London, to begin with, on my own. In London, I got a job with some a nice Jewish guys, two partners. It was quite a good job. I was given reasonable responsibility. It was right in the heart of London, in Poland Street, just off Oxford Street. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was good. I lasted, made good friends. Only London was getting a shit bombed out of it. It wasn't cozy at that time. And it was an experience to see what happened to London and to hear the bombs and the sirens and the alarms, the alerts. And that is a terrible memory. Terrible memory also going to the tube stations and seeing people living there. Mm-hmm. Intense, improvised homes. Mm. And there were singing troops playing music. It was something else. That was Britain in those days, though. And to see those bombed out houses. Anyway. And I had this other job in London. I did it reasonably well with these people. And I, as I said, I kept trying to get in the army, and eventually I made it.
And I told you. Were that. Part of, was the British Army, it wasn't the Jewish Brigade, so that was
no,
quite
the impressive. Jewish Brigade were tough cookies.
Yeah.
No, but they came mostly out of Israel, out of Palestine.
Father-in-law was in the Jewish Brigade, that's why.
Well, you're the very, very tough guys, they were, all of them. And very...
I didn't know that.
And very hero-worshipped, us, who were not in it, thought they were wonderful.
Is that right?
They helped in the capture of Tobruk, which was one of the major British victories. I dare say a lot of them joined from here, I don't know how, but it was based on Israel, I think. I think. Anyway, so we... I fought my own war, which wasn't a very dangerous one because I was in the intelligence school. In fact, I made sure I never heard a shot fired in anger. Would have been very indignant if they fired at me. So after 4 years, 2 years of which were spent on war crimes interrogation, I tell you something, that was unbelievable. I think about it now. I'm telling you, I was 21.
Mm,
a bit young for this incredibly responsible job. I mean, we had some famous Nazi war criminals, some wound up in Nuremberg. There was a woman, you'll have heard of her, who came before me just for a few hours, and I allowed her to sit because she was a woman, across the desk. And she crossed her legs and tried to be very seductive. Her name was Irma Grazer. Does that mean anything to you?
Yes.
Well, when I saw her, she had beautified her as much as she could, herself as much as she could. And she actually said to me, "Why there were far too many Jews. What would you do with them?"
Because what was her job in the concentration camp?
She was deputy commandant at Belsen. And her husband, I think, was commandant. They had a family business. And her hobby was making lampshades out of human skins.
Right.
She was very notorious for that. Well, I didn't have much to do with that. I think I had some documentation to prepare. She was sentenced to death. Mm-hmm. And she was hanged. And I'm told that she said, "Hurry up, boys," when she stood in the scaffold. She was really a tough cookie with a cow. And her husband got the same treatment eventually. He was hanged as well.
But she didn't try to deny what she'd done.
But she was proud of it. That she couldn't have denied it. I mean, there was she used to have the prisoners pursued by dogs You know what happened to Jewish concentration camp inmates. They left early in the morning for work. They were marched for 2 or 3 hours, got to work, maybe a gruel for soup, food, I mean, beaten up all day, marched back, maybe 14 hours altogether, and they were dying on their feet. And when they got in, she set her dogs on them. She was unspeakable. Well, look, a lot of unspeakables. And that was my war.